It's cute.
Okay, Matt.
All right, everybody, welcome. We'll call this meeting to order. It's the Oceana Community Service District. Today is Wednesday, December 10th. It is 6:30 p.m. Can I get a roll call, Marie?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director White?
Here.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
President Guerrero?
I'm here as well. We do have everyone present. There is a quorum. If you'll join me for the flag salute.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, the next item is the board oaths and election. Item A is the oath of office for the Office of Directors. We have Lori, Karen, and Karen White, and Jennifer Blackburn. Pablo, who's going to administer the oath?
I will lead in the oath.
And we would have each of them stand up then and raise their right hand.
I think, they need to speak in the microphone, so I think from a seated position works.
I think
well.
They need to stand up.
They need to stand up
they need
for the cameras.
Up. I insist. It is.
Okay.
Ladies?
It's like from where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. You can grab your microphone and bring it a little bit closer. I think it should work.
That way we have an audio that you...
And you can probably even pull it towards you.
Testing.
Now, there's only one tricky part of the oath, and when it comes to the name, you have to say your own name, okay?
You got to get that right.
Why don't we do that?
Do you want to do that sequentially with going from left to right, which would be Karen, Jennifer, and Lori?
Thank you for that.
So I think the way we do this is that you repeat after me. I, and then your name, do solemnly swear.
I, Karen M. White, do solemnly swear.
I, Jennifer Blackburn, do solemnly swear.
I, Lori Angelo, do
solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well and faithfully.
That I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Congratulations
on your wins, ladies, in the election. Those of you especially who were unopposed and those who fought the hard fight. So thank you. Congratulations to all of you. Item number B is 4B, the election of officers. And I do want to say thank you to the community and to this board, to staff, especially to Marie and to Tony for... the last year and a half or so where we were in a lot of turmoil, and you guys kept us afloat, Tony and Marie. I really want to say thank you for being the keel underneath the ship sometimes, and I appreciate it. We've come a long way in the last couple of years. We have a long way left to go, but I think the bricks are being laid for our future success as a district. So thank you, everybody. Let's move on to election of officers. Jeff, do we need to take public comment on this? Okay, then why don't we do that? It won't count against the any 6-minute period. So is there public comment on the election of officers? Giselle?
Did you want to go?
No.
Oh, okay.
Whoops.
I'm not ready.
This is for the election of officers, not the other business items, Giselle.
I'm talking about public comment.
That's what I'm talking
No.
Okay, then wait. Okay. Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. In connection with the selection of your president and vice president for next year, I'd like to make some generalized comments. I think a president, your president, your next president, should be someone that can represent Oceano independently, not just to participate in governments to get along with others, with neighboring cities, et cetera, with the county. A president that can advocate for the interests of Oceano's residents and its ratepayers and cooperate, but first of all, be an advocate for the community. I think a president should maintain a professional relationship with staff at all levels. And one of the big picture items has been the Sand District and who might serve on the Sand District. They're having to relocate. And it's doing two things. It's providing a retreat from sea level rise, planned retreat, and also, and most importantly, they're relocating their facility close to where recycled water can be optimized, the use of that with recycled water can be optimized. So it's a win-win for Oceano. That facility can likely go to another location, perhaps a Rio Grande. And I would like that president, your next president, sitting on the Sand District, to move in that direction, to have that big picture view. So that's all I have for right now, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Ms. Tacker's coming forward. Marie, could you make sure to...
Okay. Yeah.
We're trained to speak in 3 minutes.
I know. your clock goes off, but...
It's all right. We know.
Thanks, Julie. Go ahead.
I am Julie Tacker, and I would like a president that would do away with the six-minute rule, one that would allow public comment after staff reports are given verbally, and for the public to fully participate in your meetings. And I'll be frank, rumor on the street is that Mary's going to move up to the presidency. That seems a natural course. If you are going to then serve on the sanitation district, Ms. Lucy, I would like you to explain your comments at last week's sanitation district meeting, so that we can all understand where you are with regard to the item that was agendized for January related to an operational audit. Thank you.
Good evening.
Hi, President and board members. My name is Patty Welsh. I'm a resident of Rio Grande. I also would like to say for the next president, as a resident, I would like for you to look out for me and my rising cost for water. I have done everything humanly possible on my property, both inside and out, to conserve water for the 15 years I've lived in this great community. And I also would like to see a financial audit done so that possibly we can get more reserves and do better things with the sanitation district. I'd like to see some trust.
The 2.5 million gallons a day that we flush through the ocean outfall pipe, a significant amount of that could be reclaimed and help to answer some of our water supply issues in the long term. At the sanitation district, I'd like to thank Director Guerrero for his service over the last few years. The district has made huge strides, taken the district from a point where the organization made very little sense to the community the way it was structured with the Wallace Group. The times of the performance was suffering. Potentially there were financial issues that should be investigated. We need to go through those issues, turn them over, bring them into the public's view. From a transparency standpoint, there are things to be learned. The county needs to know that that is not the way to operate, and there are ramifications if you design an organizational structure that way. So let's not go back. Let's make sure we don't go back, and let's investigate. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. Any other public comment this evening?
Yes.
Ms. Gibson, good evening.
Hello, Shirley Gibson, Halcyon, 1546 Helena Street. And I just wanted to express my appreciation to Mr. Guerrero for his leadership. And I really think that the OCSD is on the right track, and I support the board and Mr. Ogren. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gibson.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Kyle? Giselle, did you want to make public comment at this point?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor. If you'll come forward and speak to the mic so we can catch all of your comments.
Hello, board members, returning board members. Returning board members being sworn in. Good luck in the coming year. I was going through my blizzard of paperwork related to coming to the meetings and trying to decide what to throw out and what to save, and I ran across some things that I think are excellent resources, and let's starting with the conflict of interest and explained by experts to you, because I don't believe even lawyers, unless they specialize in this field, can grasp what conflict of interest means. But fortunately, the California Attorney General's office put out a pamphlet that's about 100 pages. You can download it from the internet, and it's got code cites, cases, examples of what constitutes a conflict of interest, depending on what type of office you hold, what particular, you know, section or division of government that you participate in. So I think it's a great guideline if those issues come up. And there are the public contracts codes. There are specific sections which are cited in this one little downloadable PDF where you can actually go if you've got a question about a contract that's coming before you, you want to know if there's any conflict of interest, go to this PDF and it'll spit out 50 different cites to the public contracts code so you don't have to read the whole thing. Then when you really want to get down to the stories, the things that make law so amazing, go to Wikipedia, go to the City of Bell scandal, and in the long lists of footnotes, you can navigate to a 105-page FBI affidavit and the FBI agents, how he investigated the City of Bell officials and what he found they did that actually violated the law. So he actually, you know, it's a person, what happens when there's a red flag, a person suspects a crime is being committed or a public officer is misusing his authority, you know, how does the public regain control of their government? And you can study this FBI affidavit. It's amazing. So start with Wikipedia and the California Attorney General's conflicts of interest.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor.
Prepared by the Civil Division of Government.
Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, we'll return it to the board for board discussion.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
If we might, in the agenda package itself, there's a couple of different separate items. One is it's the election of officers, and then some of the public comment really referred to committee assignments that are later in the agenda. But at this point in time, I think that there is a in the health and safety code specifically. I also went in, contacted David Church with LAFCO, and I reviewed the CSD's formation and the conditions established, and it doesn't speak to the issue at all. But the bottom line is that in working with legal counsel, and I'll again have Jeff kind of walk through his review of 4730, I think that your board does have the flexibility when it comes to committee assignments to make sure that you have the appropriate person that you deem appropriate go to the Sand District Board. The precedent in some ways has already been set by Grover when the mayor had been serving for a while and then somebody else ended up serving on behalf of Grover. But I'll turn it over to legal counsel now in order to allow him to discuss what his evaluation of the law is and what your options might be.
Good evening, President Guerrero and directors of the board. So this issue had come up about whether or not the president, as the presiding member of this board, is required to sit on the board of the sanitation district and how that might be something we could discuss prior to the elections, given President Guerrero's recent commitment and consistency with sanitation district. And the health and safety code, well, I guess going back when the formation documents for the sanitation district were adopted and formed, the the Oceana was at that time a sanitary district. And if you read the health and safety code the way it still is today, it really contemplates that the sanitation districts are formed and the sitting members of the board are other sanitation districts, members of the county, and then they discuss unincorporated areas. But it is a morass of confusion as far as how this all plays out and the different exceptions. And so it's not very clear from a legal perspective, and different legal opinions, different lawyers may have different legal opinions of how this applies where we stand today when you were a sanitary district, when the sanitation district was formed, and whether or not the requirement, which is clear that for cities, the presiding officer of a city, which would be the mayor, would be on the sanitation district, does that same requirement apply to a community services district, and the health and safety code simply is not clear. I will tell you that I believe that it is if absent from that position, then the alternate can be chosen, and the alternate could sit at the sanitation on the board of the sanitation district as an alternate. As general manager explained, Grover Beach has done this for the last year and a half as well, and there is precedent for that.
I think Grover Beach actually only had the mayor there for about 6 months.
Okay.
Never.
Yeah.
So, irregardless, I think the point is that I don't think that when you're considering the election of officers, if the officer that if the current president of the board doesn't necessarily, that person would be the appointed person to sit on the sanitation district, but if that person is absent from that role, then the alternate would attend the meetings.
And also Roy Grandy, Jim Guthrie would often come in place of Tony Ferrara
right.
during that time as well.
So I don't think you should feel compelled to make a selection of the president of your board based on your determination of who sits on the sand district board.
And I would be willing to continue to serve if I'm not the president, or submit to the board's will, whatever the board decides. So, with that, anything else?
Nope.
Jeff? Pablo? All right. I'll bring it back for board discussion.
Well, it's always good to know all our options.
Do you have any thoughts, Karen?
Well, I believe that it would be extreme benefit to Oceana to have you remain in that position, however we figure it, because I think you're in a position right now to move some things forward that I really want to happen in water conservation, or water reclamation is a better term.
Lori or Jennifer?
Interesting that you went through this, because when I was the first few years that I was on the board, I wasn't the president or vice president in a situation, and I did sit on the sanitation district for a short time. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else, we changed positions on it. So I don't know
and
why
then
it's an issue now.
Well, it's come up, but historically, because as a sanitary district, it could have been any member of the board.
Right.
But somewhere, and I'm not exactly sure when.
The sanitation is just to confirm that, you know, both from my perspective and more importantly from legal counsel's perspective, when you get to the committee assignments and you talk about the sanitation district, you will have the flexibility to make determinations that you want to make independent, and that this item is the president and vice president item.
Jennifer, anything you want to add? Your microphone's off. I can see the wheels turning in your head.
Not on that issue.
Oh, okay. All right.
We can discuss it later.
All right. Well, if there's no further discussion, I would nominate our vice president to be board president next year.
Second.
Right. Oh, I think I got to accept.
Oh, she has to accept or deny.
Thank you very much. I would accept that nomination.
All right. Are there any other nominations then for president? All right, we have a motion and a second. Let's take a roll call vote then, Marie. I did the motion.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
You're missing one.
Oh. Vice President Lucy.
Yes.
All right. It passes by a vote of 5-0. Why don't
I wait a minute. There should be another one.
Trade your seats.
Can we just stick to the same seats?
Okay. Well, at a break, we'll change then. Okay. All right.
I first want to start by thanking the board for your vote of confidence. Oh, yeah, that thing. I'll do my best to facilitate us through this, and I'm sure as I stumble along, I'll be corrected by numerous people. But I also want to thank the community of Oceano for all your support, and rest assured, I am extremely loyal to this community. So on that note, we're going to take nominations for our vice president position.
I'd like to nominate Karen White.
I'd like to second that.
Or... She beat me to it. She has to accept first.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go again.
I will accept.
Great. So go ahead.
You have to call for... Oh, I second that. Then I apologize.
Matt seconded it. Marie.
Okay.
Any more nominations? Any discussion? Any of that? Okay. Can I call the question? All those in favor? Do a roll call vote. So I'll be at City Hall. No. Okay, so let's go back to our agenda. Let's go back and do an agenda review. Is there anything that needs to be added or deleted from the agenda or corrected?
President Lucy?
Yes.
Yes, we do. We have a replacement page, and that is in the agenda package right now on page 48 of 161, which is Appendix 1 to the proposed resolution that would make technical corrections. So we have a replacement page for page 48, and Maria's passed those out already. We've made copies available for the public as well. And as a quick description for those who are maybe listening on television, in paragraph 2, this is the exhibit that establishes the various designated positions that are and need to report on Fair Political Practices Commission FPPC filing requirements. Section 2 speaks to officials who manage public investments. And in the agenda package, under assigned disclosure categories, there's 1, 2, and 3. And the direction that we got from the county clerk is that those need to be left blank because it needs to comply with Government Code Section 87200. So the replacement page is deleting those disclosure categories and leaving them blank so that, again, Government Code Section 87200 rules on that for officials who manage public investments. And so that's a replacement page, and I have no other items that need to be replaced in the agenda.
And also, too, is that we're double copied, so keeping in mind that the original incorrect one has another document on the back of it,
yeah.
So you should just probably do a page turner. So I did it. Okay. All right. So does everybody have that?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any... so everybody's good with the agenda being reviewed?
Yep.
Okay. We'll start with public comment on matters not on the agenda.
President Lucy?
Yes.
I just wanted to say, because we have one resolution...
Do you want to take a vote on that, or do I take
a
vote?
Just oral is fine.
Okay, let's... All in favor of accepting the agenda as it stands with one correction, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Aye. It passes. Okay. Now we're going to do public comment for items not on the agenda tonight. If people would like to speak to...
I've got about 3 minutes, I think.
You have 6, probably.
So has everybody been ready?
Sure.
Yeah.
Getting back to this great PDF, downloadable, it was created by the Civil Division, the government section of the California Attorney General's Office. The PDF I downloaded is from 2010, but I think it's right on here because on page 88, it talks about local agencies, incompatible activities of local officers and employees, things to consider if you're asking yourself the question, should I recuse myself from approving a contract that's coming before the district? It says a local officer or employee shall not engage in any employment, activity, or enterprise for compensation that is inconsistent, incompatible, in conflict with, or inimical to his or her official duties, or the duties, functions, or responsibilities of his or her appointing authority or employing agency. So I hate to use Lori Angelo as an example, but the only reason why I mention that is because you've got a very successful business in Oceano, and it's, you know, it's on the water, so there may be water issues that come up before you. So, you know, in trying to understand what the law means, you have to look at a fact situation and then see if the fact situation sounds like what the law is describing in general terms. But they refer to Government Code Section 1125 at sequitur. So if you really want to go to the law, that, you know, what does the government code says is an incompatible activity of a local officer and employee, that might be a direction.
And it's going to rain, or at least it appears to be in the forecast. And that's the good news. Actually, I think we have two systems coming in tomorrow and Friday and then early next week. 4 inches, up to 4 inches are in that forecast. Does that sound familiar? We're approaching the four-year anniversary of the 12 December 19, 2010 flood. Basically flooded the island and, as you know, flooded the sanitation district. And resulted in the $1.1 million fine that is still subject to pending litigation. So 4 years later, what's really been accomplished? And heck, your own general manager, Pablo Ogren, was the architect of the response to that flood. And so, you know, if Mr. Ogren has anything to add, I welcome his input. But there was Reed Management. Maybe you remember Reed Management. Then there's also Sandbar Management. Highway 1 and 13th Street Project, does that sound familiar? $3 million boondoggle. Apparently that project is in trouble because it may have lost its $600,000 of HUD funding. They don't think it's a very good project either, frankly. Sand Canyon Flapgates, you know about those. They were actually involved in the flood of December 2010. Nobody opened them. Well, they're going to, the motto now is, if it's not broken, fix it. And they're going to throw $50,000 at the Sand Canyon Flapgates. Total all of this up, and it's a big zero. Nothing has been done. It's going to rain again. The island is likely to flood again, hopefully not the Sand District. Nothing has happened to address the two primary things that caused that. Of course, the Sand District had some internal issues. They've corrected those. But fundamentally, it was the backing up of Meadow Creek, because the Sand Canyon Flapgates were not operated properly, in combination with floodwaters coming off the airport property. That was what happened. We can't rewrite history. That's what happened. And nothing has changed. Literally, nothing has changed. So I hate to say it, but it's going to happen again.
The flood. 1A. I respectfully disagree with Mr. Edwards on some of the causes, but not on the result, because, yes, in fact, the floods did exist. Director Blackburn and I are going to be meeting with some of the members of the community who were especially flooded out prior to the next Zone 1 and 1A meeting, and we'll be attending that meeting in order to follow up on some of these issues.
Great. And I do like to hear people's different perspectives and people who were there during the incident and who weren't there during the incident. And I, being very familiar with the floodgates, would never even attempt to open one of those because they're just grids. They don't manually open. So on that note, but we do need to continue to watch areas of Oceano that are below sea level. Okay, so thank you for bringing that up, Mr. Edwards, and I'm glad that one of the directors and Mr. Ogren are going out to inspect the situation, and there are plenty of people who want to talk about it. And on that note, we're going to move the agenda. So we don't have any special presentations, nothing special? Mr. Minery, you don't have anything special to share with us? Okay, then we're just going to whip through this agenda. South County Sheriff's Department. Do we have a representative here tonight?
Doesn't look like it.
No? Oh, shucks. Okay. Five Cities Fire Authority. We love the Fire Authority. Hi, Mr. Heath.
Good morning, or good evening, Ricky.
I feel like it's morning.
It's morning somewhere.
I just wanted to give a quick report on the stats. I missed last month's meeting, and I apologize for that. But for the past 2 months, this station here ran 120 calls, and it was total for Five Cities Fire Authority was 486 calls, and 53 of those were to automatic aid, which is 11% for the past 2 months. Nothing really significant the past 2 months. It was just some real basic, simple calls. What I would also like to do is ask Chief Lieberman to step up.
Yes, please.
I would like to introduce him. This is Steve Lieberman, our new fire chief.
Congratulations.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank
nice
you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks. I've known Ricky Heath since he was with the Pismo Beach Fire Department. I was with the Grover Beach Fire Department. It's a very close-knit family in the South County and in San Luis Obispo County. We have a lot of partners we can count on as well. So again, thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to speaking with you further.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I look forward to speaking with you as well.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
One thing, I just want to say thank you to you guys. I, as you know, had an emergency. I needed to call you guys. And hearing the sirens coming, it just brings relief. And you just, you know, it's like, you know, when the cavalry's coming. And thank you. Thank you guys for being
thank
there.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I saw the fire trucks going through last night with the visitor Santa visiting.
Oh, yes.
Was it the night before or last night?
It was last night.
Thank you for reminding
me. You know what? It was really, really wonderful. And my grandson was on the phone, and he was really upset he wasn't there. You know, so but it really looked beautiful, and I think a lot of people really received it well and appreciate those efforts.
Sure, we're doing that this evening. Also, we're finishing up Oceano and doing South Grover. And then tomorrow night, unfortunately, it'll probably rain. But if it doesn't, we'll be doing parts of Arroyo Grande.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll finish up North Grover the following on Friday night.
Great.
If not, then we'll do our best to do it next week.
And on your webpage, do you have like a kind of a quick down and dirty route or something like that?
No, it's been pretty much kind of a random...
Whoever's driving?
Yes.
Okay.
But one of the things that the chief and I, we were talking about, is we would like to become a little more organized with it since it's become such a popular thing.
It really
is. So hopefully next year we'll be a little more organized.
Has there been any hints to a fireman muster?
Pardon me?
Have you had any hints for a fireman muster?
Fireman muster?
Yeah, when they came several years ago, they came and had the big deal over here in the park, and it was so much fun to go there and watch and see all the different companies competing. It hasn't happened for probably 20 years, but
right, that is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
We would have
nice to organize it, yeah.
We would have to send competition notices to all the different agencies.
Yep.
Thanks, Ricky. Have a nice holiday season.
President Same Lucy?
Yes.
I'd just like to take an opportunity to also publicly welcome Chief Lieberman,
yes.
Five Cities Fire Authority. Both of us in our prior capacities with the county had been invited by Five Cities Fire Authority to do the federal emergency management.
Let's hear from Tony, our savior.
I like to think of him as the steady keel. But
yeah, right.
Good evening,
everybody.
Board. Tony Marchino.
Every time I go outside, they always say, "Where's Tony? Where's Tony?" Well, he's probably at work.
It's been several weeks since we last spoke. So we had 22 work orders, 5 USAs, 8 customer service calls. We had 2 call-outs. One was for a house that did not have water. The actual house valve was shut off in the middle of the night. The other one was due to remodel of a shower. They actually cut a water line, didn't know how to shut their water off. So we had to respond to that. So we had meter reads. We completed that. We have a customer, a comment code list we create when we do meter reads, discrepancies with boxes, notifications to customers that have leaks. We replaced over 20 meter box lids, repaired a few other meter boxes, bring them up to grade. We actually installed rust court. We had to install a new service line that we noticed that was leaking due to meter reads. We noticed it, so we replaced it. We had a water service line break on Vista last day before Thanksgiving that we had to, it was an emergency shutdown. We had to replace the whole entire line. Also, the vehicle that was purchased several months ago, the F-550, should be here within about 2 weeks. And that means we can return our rental truck on the 5th, which will be the monthly lease deadline on the 5th of January. We also had a mechanical failure at Well 8. Well 8, right now, we're having an electrician come out. It's going to test the motor. It's not producing water right now currently. So we are currently getting estimates for a pump and well service. We are working in accordance with the district's purchasing policies on this. The next step will be to pull the pump, inspect the bowls, the pump, and video log it to find out what the problem is.
So is it the whole entire pump or the engine in the pump?
The motor's currently running.
Okay.
To actually determine if it's the motor, we're going to get an electrician out here just to make sure it's doing what it's supposed to do. Most likely it's internal. So you're looking at the bowls, the pump, maybe there's a hole in the casing. We really don't know until we get somebody out there to video log it, pull it, inspect it. We'll have a better understanding once we get somebody out there after these estimates and video log it.
Okay. Karen?
Yeah, I just wondered how the system, the water delivery system, was holding up without Well 8.
We're holding up just fine. Good communication with Lopez, and it's still getting delivered. We have a redundancy and backup systems.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're doing just fine.
Because that is our primary well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If I might also add on in addressing the answer to Vice President White's question, is that, as Tony mentioned, we're working within the existing purchasing policies, because when Tony and I talked about it and the fact that it's wintertime, so the demand is down, and we have both surface water deliveries from the county as well as 4 and 6, I could not come up with a determination that we are currently in an emergency situation, and therefore we have to work through existing purchasing procedures.
Yeah.
We do have the authority. I do have the authority to be able to get a crew out here to pull the pump and to do that preliminary assessment. But if, in fact, there's extensive remedial work that has to happen, which I would say is more likely than not, then it may be well that we may need to call a special meeting of your board in order to consider the contracting for those services on remedial work. So it's currently a work in progress, and we'll keep your board apprised in the event that we do need to call a special meeting.
One more question.
Sure.
Is there going to be any nexus between being able to make those repairs and then the emergency generator that sometime is going to be connected to that well?
I'm thinking that those are pretty much independent projects. Yeah. Yeah. On a second point, right now we still have redundancies in the wintertime because of low demand with surface supplies and wells 4 and 6. In the event that either of those are impacted, you know how sometimes when one thing happens, you get the domino effect and other things happen. We've already initiated coordination with County OAS and the County Sheriff's Department because if an additional event were to happen, we want to be able to put out a reverse 911 call to the community to immediately ask for, you know, really significant reductions in water demand. And so those coordination efforts with County OAS and the County Sheriff have already been initiated as well.
Thank you.
Great. The irrigation system or something like that.
So
I'll turn that over here.
It's on point very much. And in fact, Celia is the one who is actually, she's well along in the preparation of a pamphlet with the pictures of the meters and instructions on how somebody can go and read meters. It includes the months, the odd months are the months that we read meters so that if somebody is concerned, they can contact us so they know the exact date that we're going to read the meter. They can do the same day verification if they want. And I think it's important not just for the credibility of the meter reads, but also if, in fact, we end this winter season and we're still in a drought and we have to implement, stronger water conservation efforts, then it's going to be a very good thing for people to, you know, go out and read their meters and do some self-monitoring as well. So Celia is almost done with that flyer, and we're in good shape.
Great. So we're all on the same page, and that'll come back to us and we'll actually have something to hand people, and you're off the hook, Tony.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right. Okay, sliding right into directors and outside committees. And I thought maybe that we would do the outside committees and approve the consent agenda and then take a quick five-minute break. Would that be okay with everybody?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I thought, too, is that we can start building, just have, when we do the agenda, that we can just build the break in. So yeah. When we look at our agenda, we see that we break on a regular basis. Makes us more compliant with the ADA, too.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. So, Director Angelo.
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Director Blackburn.
On November 13th and 14th, I attended the Regional Water Quality Control Board meetings, and they discussed a number of things, including Cambria's discharge requirements, and also there was an update from the State Board liaison, and the Safe Drinking Water Plan update is coming out for comment around December 15th, and they're hoping to hold some online workshops for that 270-page document. So I will find out when those are and let people know if there is interest. So.
And they don't meet on a regular basis, correct? They meet once or twice. Okay, great. Thanks. All right. President Grow?
Former president, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to welcome John Clemens is here this evening from the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District. John is our chief plant operator, and it's a pleasure to see you in the audience, John. I did attend the Sanitation District last week. The business item was that Rick Sweet, who is our part-time plant administrator, has agreed to work more hours for the same amount of pay, so we reduced his pay. Rick Sweet is doing an excellent job. And so it was a large no-brainer. The next meeting is next week. There's a couple of items on the agenda, and I wanted to alert everybody to. One is, obviously, we will be discussing the writ that was filed on behalf of the district in closed session. But at suggestion of the public, i.e. Paavo Ogren from the public, we decided to take questions regarding the litigation and figure out what we are able to answer out of closed session. And so the way that those questions should be submitted is to the sanitation district. There's a contact us button on it, webmaster at southslowcsd.org. If anybody would like to submit questions, hopefully we don't get 11,000 like the Railspur did, but we'll do our best because one of the things that we're running into is there's a lot of misinformation. Mm-hmm. Some of it's true, some of it's not. It gets mixed together into a stew that we are hoping we can help clear up. I have asked, and obviously our agenda's not out yet, but I've asked for Shannon Sweeney if she's available to do a presentation on the plant audit, the retooling, the restructuring, everything that we've done in the last 2 years. I think I joined that board in earlier mid-2012 is my recollection.
I think so, yeah.
I think you were there until then, Lori. And so we have not been sitting around. There's been a lot of things going on, and so I wanted to catch everybody up so that you know we could do it in public and everybody could see what's happened over the last couple years. Where we've gone from losing a lot of money to actually running in the black. And so, anyway, I do have that. There's been some discussion floating around about the forensic audit. Brad Snook mentioned it earlier. And the vote was, it was about a year ago to us. You can email me. You can email webmaster at South Slow CSD. If we have anything, Brad, if you have anything like that, please let us know. And we'll... The board has already agreed to do it if we have something to hang our hat on. So that was the way the motion went down last year. That's why it didn't happen. And so I could expand more upon that, and I probably will at the sanitation district meeting next week. If you have any questions, we can talk personally. You know how to reach me. So
great.
Thanks. Oh, also, I did attend the Coastal Commission this morning. And the Coastal Commission will be meeting in Pismo, I think, in January or February.
February.
Is it February? Okay, I think that's right. It'll be meeting there in February. I stayed for the morning session of it, and the discussion was about the different, it was about beach access. And you know, I'm not going to go into the whole Coastal Commission's theory for existing, but they're discussing beach access. And they were talking about how they don't just want hotels, high-rises on the beach, that it needs to be affordable for people of all different economic demographics to come forward. And there was a gentleman there who was from Hostels International that has youth hostels that, mm-hmm. that are all over the state and the nation. And so I got his card, and I said, you know, we're looking at revitalization in Oceano. Perhaps a hostel in Oceano would work. And so... he asked if we had a building. I told him I don't know, but that can be arranged. And with the revitalization and these sorts of things, to bring more tourism into this and to maybe benefit Oceano specifically, I'm all for it. So he and I started that discussion. He's going to get back to me, and I'll let you guys know when I hear from him.
Great.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I have him in my phone. It's something Casey or something, or CC's okay. or something. I don't remember.
Nobody.
I hired a fire chief. I helped hire a fire chief last month at the fire meeting, and that's been my only activity. And I want you to know that Halcyon was very surprised last night when Santa Claus came through with a fire truck. Halcyon at night is very dark and no.
I'm not sure. I think it would be tens of thousands of dollars. If you look at that, the district is audited every year. And I didn't go back. I could go back and look at what we pay the auditor. The district does go and audit like this, like every district does.
Yeah.
The district has also been through two grand jury investigations and a criminal investigation. Nothing has ever been brought forward. I don't know. I think a good starting point would be to assume that each year would probably cost you somewhere similar. or 50% to 100% of what it costs to do the audit that we do each year anyway.
Yeah.
It depends on what they're looking at and how far they're looking.
I know people think there might have been wrongdoing, but I just, the more you go backwards, the less you can go forward. And if you're going backward 10 years, that same money could be doing forward things that would be more positive for the community. That's just my feeling.
Okay.
And the other thing, too, is if, you know, the part of my thought process on it is if something did come forward, if somebody walked forward and said, here is instant X, money was misappropriated by somebody. Here is instant X to prove it. And it is criminal. Well, there's a district attorney's office who has a lot more funding than we do that could prosecute that and do the evaluations and seek restitution and that sort of things. And so, I would invite anybody that's got any information regarding to give it to us.
Yeah, I don't.
We'll run.
Okay. Pardon me. Oh, you can't hear. If we could keep the cross talking down just a little bit so everybody can hear, I'm going to move this agenda. I did actually attend a few meetings last week. I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee, one of my favorite water networking committees. I think they give a great broad brush of what's happening across the county, so you don't have to run up to Paso for this meeting and run down. I think RAC is excellent. Unfortunately, I've been attending that committee for so long that I was used to Mike Wynn chairing it, and when Mr. Wynn chaired it, although everybody didn't agree with him, he made that committee extremely visible, and he was always at the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supes knew who the RAC committee was, and that vote counted. I think with the current leadership, it's kind of lost its steam. People have other interest in Grover Beach City Council meeting, mainly to see what the committee assignments would be for certain committees that Oceano had vested interest in. And I wanted to thank Debbie Peterson for all her loyal work and dedication, particularly to the sanitation district. And I really wanted to thank Matt for, you know, trying to hold it down and just hold the status quo until, you know, there could be a change in leadership. And Grover Beach did make that change in leadership, and they brought on Debbie Peterson. And I think Debbie brought a lot of attention to the issues that the Sand District suffers from in the past. And I attended the Sand District again last week. I've been going to the Sand District long before everybody was just buddy-buddy and having a really good time. And Bill Seno was I think he was the president. I wasn't elected to the board of CSD yet, OCSD. And I remember that the goal was how fast they could finish the meeting and how much could they offend me because it was never recorded. So, you know, there was no public comment, just throwing stones. And so it has come a long, long, long ways. What I did public testimony on was what I felt about the audit. And so I want to be abundantly clear on how I feel about it, not as an organization, as CSD, or as the board, but the list that was created with the flaws in the system, in the sanitation system, which caused abundance of damage. Now, I don't think that people have quite gone through that list and see it's reflective of current times. There's a lot of things I've gone in and I pulled the list, one of the lists that I had that was created with Matt and Debbie Peterson and that other person. It was Tony Ferraro.
It was Tony, yeah.
Right. And that list, a lot of those things have changed. A lot of those things have been corrected. And so where does the balance come? It's not that I'm opposed to looking at, you know, things that are wrong. You know, they're just dead wrong and abuse of public funds. Or think the problems are. And look at those areas. You know, to you, that's why I always start off with the word forensic makes me nervous because it's such a broad term. You can almost throw anything under there, you know, and it's a buzzword. So I heard one person use the term fiscal audit, which, yeah, that sounds good to me, you know. Somebody else used another term of budgetary audit or something like that, you know, but it's the word forensic that that I'm not so much in support of across the board. They can be very, 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 very costly, and really the benefit is has to be determined on a case-by-case basis. It's not a broad stroke. And so then you go to the findings. So you do find horrific misuse of public funds. And you and let's just say that you do find that, right? And you take it to a district attorney. And you know what? This county, that this district attorney really isn't interested in hearing about economic crimes.
Well, we have a new DA. We have a new DA.
Great. So we can go back at it again. But the point being is that you have to look to the future. What are you going to do with the information? And if it's going to help the people stop from that happening, then I do support that, you know. But do I support a broad stroke forensic in-depth audit from a list that was created some time ago? No. Do I support looking at an updated version of a list and areas that are where there's deep concern? Yes, I do support that. You know, so I kind of go with what Matt believes, is that if we can hang our hat on something, yeah, I believe in justice for the people. You know, so, and I'm sorry if some people interpreted that differently and read something different into it, but that's pretty much how I feel about it. You know, if there's cause, then yes, the people have the right to have justice. So, and I won't go in the other five committees I attended. I'm sorry. Okay. So if the warrants and what else is on there?
Will serve.
Cash disbursements.
The warrants and
will serve. There's a will serve.
Yeah, there's a will serve on there, and I think that's it. Oh, and then also, too, is the the correction to the conflict of interest. So if I could get a motion to accept that consent form. Sorry, Julie.
Ms. Tacker.
Apologize.
Julie Tacker again, and I just wondered about the minutes of November 12th. There was a letter referred to, and I thought our practice was to attach the letter to the minutes, and that was the Highway 1 and 13th Street letter from the county that went to the USDA HUD went to for CDBG funds. And then it occurs to me, and I thought I'd put this in here, I've attended your finance committees, mm-hmm. and those minutes never make it to the board to accept. So I'm kind of curious if we'll be seeing those, because that's how the board sees what went on at the committee. And then you ratify them in public. So that's it for the consent calendar.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Gibson.
Thank you. Not to get off topic, but I come here to listen to the board, and I don't come to hear the audience speak among themselves. So I respect the board, and I'd like to hear what you have to say. And if people want to visit, they could go outside. I just think that's fair. Thank you.
Point well taken, ma'am. Thank you very much. And sometimes we can't hear that from up here in front, but please, when that occurs, let one of us know or all of us know. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you. I don't really have any comments on the consent agenda, but I would like to pose some, maybe a question on the reports and so forth, so if I may. The first thing is, with regard to Mr. Maricino's report, I would hope that he could bring back a discussion about the water loss, the procedures and strategies and discussions that you got to go through to fix a well pump. I mean, this can't be that difficult. I mean, reverse 911 is this really necessary? It would seem fixing the problem would avoid all these other ancillary activities. There was a question about the water board, how often they meet, and the regional water board meets about 8 times a year. Usually about half of those meetings are in San Luis Obispo, and then they scatter the remaining meetings around between Salinas and Monterey and sometimes Santa Barbara. And then a quick comment on the Coastal Commission. I also watched the public workshop on lower-cost visitors serving accommodations. That was quite interesting, and certainly Oceano has a place in that mix. I would like to note, yes, indeed, the February meeting is in Pismo Beach. It's February 11th through the 13th. And of particular interest will be another workshop, and this one will be on the OHV operations. So that should be quite interesting, and Coastal staff will have a fairly lengthy presentation to make on the OHV operations and looking at the long history and so forth. And then I'd just like to close with making posing a question. Your general manager has made some reports. I'm still curious about many of the other things that were on the to-do list, if you will, the pro forma, grants and loans, capital improvement program list, rate study. Maybe these will be discussed if you have some discussion about future agenda items. But I'm just curious where all these great works are. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, on that note, I'm going to...
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Motion accepted.
This would be a roll call vote.
Okay.
Because of the resolution.
And as modified?
As modified.
As modified.
Thank you, Pavel. Correct.
Thank you. And I'm going to abstain from the October 12th minutes.
November 12th?
November 12th,
oh, then we need
me.
To split it up. Okay. Yeah, then I'll move to approve review and approval of the minutes for November 12th, 2014.
Second.
Right. I think you got to call.
Call a question.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
But Ralph opposed? Didn't. Abstain?
For the next set.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Okay.
Okay, it passes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
And you've completed the consent agenda, but I did want to make one comment with respect to the preparation of the minutes.
Wait, 1 second.
Okay.
So the motion carried, right? It's
right.
Over with, right? Okay, go ahead.
And that is when, if correspondent, the question that came up in the preparation of the minutes, that in the subsequent meeting, are we going to include all the correspondence that had been submitted in the prior meeting? And the answer is no, that the minutes will reference that correspondence, and then procedurally we will post all of that correspondence to the agenda, I mean to the website, referencing the meeting in which the correspondence was submitted to your board. That way the minutes will provide a reference and the website will include the correspondence. But I want to avoid a situation where there's a lot of correspondence submitted in one meeting and then it's repeated in a subsequent meeting. So I do think it's important that it's referenced in the minutes, it's put on the website with good references, but not included in its totality in the subsequent minutes.
Okay.
Great. And the other questions we will be addressing in future agenda items.
And that's true. And on that note, I'm going to call for a motion to accept a 7-minute break.
Second.
So right. Move. Okay. Okay, we're going to pull this meeting back from the break. AGP, are you ready?
All right, we're on.
Okay, I got a thumbs up. Let's roll. Okay. Business items, number 11. Is that where we left off?
Yes, we have public comment.
Okay, public comment on any reports, boards of directors, outside committees. Yeah. Anybody have public comment on business?
Hello. You guys were at my meeting, so I'm returning. I'm John Clemens. Live in the center, city of Grover Beach. I do things at the Sand District.
Do things, yes. Understatement.
I heard it's miracles, too.
Yes.
.org. Amy is the district bookkeeper, and she will receive the letters and forward them to our board of directors for the Sand District.
And that's AMY?
AMY, Amy.
Okay.
And again, on our site, it also, in one place on our site, it showed Amy, AMY at SSLOCSD.org, and it's SSLOCSD.US is our domain.
Okay. All right.
So you would comment, Amy, you would contact Amy at amy@sslocsd.us, as you would anyone who works for the district. If you need to contact me, I am jclemens@sslocsd.us. And that's also wanted to have an open invite for those who want to tour the plant and see the current condition of the plant. I know that Mr. Edwards mentioned about you know, maybe moving the plant based on the condition of the structure and all this. If right now the policy is to you submit for a tour in a very short time, in all likelihood we can get you the plant, you can look at the tour, you can ask all the process and facility questions you like. I love answering questions about the district, about the plant and how the plant's run. This is not the venue for it, so not right now. But again, anyone can contact me at the plant and arrange for a tour. I did want to comment as a private citizen. There's a lot about audits, forensic, whatever. I'm not sure about the term audit or anything, but I do know this as a person. If you've made a mistake, if a mistake or malfeasance or whatever was practiced for 10 years and you don't take a look at it, because if it went on for 10 years, a lot of people missed it the first time around. And if you don't take a good look, right now we run the district real well. Right now, Paul Carr, Rick Sweet, Debbie Peterson, Matt Guerrero, we all had a part in running the district really well. But if you don't understand what was going on before, then we can't guarantee that won't happen again. If I leave, if Rick Sweet leaves, if Paul Carpenter, it was the same people who had been running it for all those years, and for whatever happened, for whatever reason, I wasn't there, I have no idea. But if it did happen, and it happened over a period of that long length of time, a lot of people missed a lot of things during the course of that time, how can you be guaranteed it won't happen again if you don't examine and find the causes for the problem or whatever? And that, I'm going to leave it at that. Like I said, the terms audits and all that, I'm not in, that's above my pay grade. But I know that we do need to examine when things go bad, simply so we don't repeat ourselves. We don't repeat the errors. We don't have this happen again where somebody's running and a district for a period of time, and then all of a sudden it goes south and nobody notices. Because from an outsider perspective, that's what it looks like. It went well for a while, then it ran south for a period of time, but nobody really noticed. We don't want to not notice again, so we need to know what happened. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And can I ask you one more time, just for the public to know that they have comments, they have questions, that their comments can go to which email address again?
Amy, amy@sslocsd.us. And
okay.
We also have a frequently asked question segment on our website. I will make it a point to make sure as we get questions and look at them as a district, our general manager gets a chance to look at that, we'll try to answer what is not answered in the board meeting. We'll make attempts to answer whatever is appropriate on the website.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Just a quick question. Storm preparations, the plant ready?
The plant's always ready right now. Okay. We've adopted a policy, as I mentioned in our SAM board meeting, that we're going to be ready all year round so that when the storm season comes around, there's not much more we need to do. One of the things that's happened in this meeting, the county was mentioned, and the county engineer just came down, I believe today, and one of our staff members went around with them on the levees to check out the flap gates. So we're interacting a lot with the county, as we do with all other agencies. And inside the plant, we've done all our storm prep. We've checked all our pumps. Our attitude nowadays is to just be prepared, period, and then be prepared for the worst at all times. And so I'm totally confident.
As of November 30, Mr. Ogren will go through this with you, but what pops out on the page is a $70,000 figure that's bright red with parentheses on either side of it, and you adopted a budget in deficit. You purposely knew that you weren't going to balance your budget, and it was $281,000 in the red with parentheses around it. This $70,000 is beyond that. That's bleeding to death. What I don't see in a staff report is really any recommendations of how to stop the bleeding. What the hell are you going to do? And where's the reserves to show you how long you can do it? I mean, the sanitation district is a prime example of operating in the red year after year and depleting the reserves. What's left here, you guys? And you've got to have a report. You need a report. I'm not saying your books are closed. I'm saying you just haven't had a report. Quickly, with reference to the reports, the sanitation district, the item that Mr. Hill asked for was to have an operational audit, and I think clearly we need to see what the definition of whatever kind of audit it is, and the item should be in public so that we can all talk about what kind of scope we're looking at. What are we looking for? And I think that's very important. Matt, with your report on the sanitation district, you jokingly referred to the 11,000 comments to the rail spur. That project ties into the possibilities for recycled water at the plant. And the plant, the sanitation district didn't comment on that EIR, and you guys didn't comment on that EIR, and the train divides your town, and you should have. Doesn't mean you can't, because there'll be public hearings and opportunities. You just won't have a response in writing in the EIR. So I encourage you to care about your community and engage on that project and look at how the mitigation can benefit your
of the agenda.
Thank you, President Lucy. So your first item is agenda item 11A, creation, deletion, and or modification of district committees and approval of committee appointments. So what I've provided in the staff report is really breaking down the district committees into three different categories to help facilitate your decision-making process. Also provided a handout of all the existing committee assignments as well, so that everybody can see where they're currently assigned, and again, to facilitate discussions. There's a couple of comments that I sort of want to make up front. Obviously, the public is very interested in the sanitation district and who will be the individual who will most be frequently moving there. So my basic recommendation is to take that one first. With respect to the column called district committees, what I listed were essentially existing standing committees, and we're not having regular meetings of standing committees. Certainly the Finance and Audit Committee needs to be a standing committee, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in the subsequent agenda item underneath budgets. But what strikes me is that some of those other committees, because they don't have the reoccurring level of activity for a standing committee, that your board might consider simply working through those issues on ad hoc basis when the different issues come up. So, for example, after the first of the year, we're going to initiate strategic planning efforts, and whatever the board deems to be the priorities at that point in time, you might establish some ad hoc committees to work with staff on those different priorities. But, again, with the exception of the Finance and Audit Committee, which really does need to stay as a standing committee, the others you might just not make appointments and work on those issues on an ad hoc basis when they come up. In terms of the external agencies, informal or unseated, you're familiar with all of them. The one that is not on the existing list that I added is State Water. That one does meet about once a year. I think that there's going to be more frequent meetings of the State Water group, but there's no current appointment there. And then under external, formal, and seated committees, those are the four that, you know, really are the formality. I already spoke on South County, on the Sanitation District and the Sand District and the Five Cities Fire Rescue comments, but I'll be glad to answer questions and, you know, I'll help address it as your board deliberates how you want to do your committee appointments.
Great. So I guess this is the part that everybody's been waiting for tonight.
Yeah, and President Lucy, in respect to this question that, you know, myself and legal counsel addressed earlier, where there is some indication, you know, even though the law may not be clear, I think that it would be good to understand what your position is on the Sanitation District right up front, because you're sort of the new leader of the board, and I think that would be the first starting point in terms of what your perspective is on the Sanitation District.
Great. You know, I've sat on a lot of boards and different things over the years in my time, and my partner Nancy of 25 years is, you know, she's been doing civil rights activism since way before she ever met me, and so it's kind of ingrained in our bodies, and it's always about issues that are much bigger than us as individuals, and so we're kind of trained in a way that what's best for a community, what's best for a cause, but that we're just part of the fight. We're not the fight. You know, we're there to support and to move the agenda forward in whatever capacity we've chose to be in. There's been a lot of times where I've had to sit on committees and be in places that I didn't want to be in. I was appointed by one of Tony Fauci's committees for the National Institute of Health, and I didn't want to do it. I simply didn't want to do it. And everybody said, "Oh my God, how can you pass up an opportunity to have NIH, you know, appoint you?" And I just didn't feel like I was the best foot forward. And so that's how I personally operate. Whatever is the best foot forward. And then people promised to hold on to my feet, and I went into it, and I did it. And I didn't like it the whole time, but I did it because it was what we had to work with at that time. And I'm glad I had that experience. And I look at the Sand District, and I have to say, us as a district, we have to put our best feet forward. In any capacity, he's great at mentoring people. He's great at communicating. And I think we need to have an extremely active individual in the Sand District. And so I fall back to, it's not about me as an individual. It's about us as a community and what is in our best interest as a whole. And I firmly believe that keeping Matt in the Sand District as Oceano's representative would be in our best interest.
It may interject just kind of a procedural matter. As the president of this board and the presiding officer of this board, you would actually be the official designated board member of the Sand District with Director Guerrero as an alternate who would attend in your absence. So as long as you were absent from those meetings, Director Guerrero would attend. And so kind of in a procedural way, that's the way that works.
And the only thing that concerns me about that procedure, right, is will we lose our standing having missed three meetings in a row? And most of the time I will be in the audience and I don't want to be blocked from not attending in the audience, but I want our knowledge base at the table, you know? And so that would be two concerns. One is that would it interfere with me attending as a resident or as another board member, you know, in the audience? And would I have to go sit at the table if I attended those meetings? And secondly, would Oceano be at risk missing three meetings in a row?
Right, and I don't, as long as Oceano has an alternate or the designee there, you are not at risk of being considered missing from those meetings. You're following procedures, but I think what we're basically doing is we're working a practical solution when we have an extremely convoluted code section and then some strange timing things with related to the formation of the district. Well, you're a sanitary district and not a community services district, and so there's questions to this. So I don't think you have to worry about that, and I think that your absence on the board is different from your attending the meeting as a private citizen.
Okay.
Not a bylaw issue, and so as legal counsel Minery was going through the difficulty of interpreting the health and safety code, I don't think we saw anything in there at all with respect to three meetings.
And I will tell you that bylaws are only in force and in effect to the extent permissible by law. So to the extent there is the legislation that we are discussing, the health and safety code, is ultimately controlling over the issue over any bylaws. So I don't have a concern about that issue.
Okay. And does the board want to chime in on this and have an opinion or anything?
I would say I would be happy to stay. I am fully engaged with the sanitation district. It's been a miraculous, very rewarding place to be. And there's been a good discussion. You were there at the last... Remember the discussion with John Clemens about redundancy, I feel like we're getting honest answers from staff, and I would be happy to stay, but I serve at your will and the board's will. So.
Oh, I only assumed you. I didn't even ask you.
So procedurally, we have a couple of different options. One option is to take each of these one at a time and have motions and actions. Another option is to do an informal straw vote, and then I can take notes, and then you can make a final motion on all of the appointments at the end of the item. So, I think that doing that in terms of straw votes and keeping notes and taking one final action may be a little bit more time efficient.
More sense.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Okay. So is it fair to say then that the straw vote on this item favors, as the presiding officer, that President Lucy would be the appointee with Director Guerrero as the alternate?
I certainly support that.
Yep.
Yes.
Jen?
Yes.
Lori? Yes.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Can I ask that Jennifer take my spot as supervisor liaison? The reason is on Tuesdays, when the Board of Supervisors meets, my schedules have gotten, on Tuesdays, have gotten incredibly impacted. I just don't see myself as available. I, I didn't ask Jennifer this, so I'm just suggesting that she be
in our policymakers in whatever capacity, the better it is for Oceano. I mean, it doesn't serve us to work in a vacuum. So the better we get to know the supervisors and what their capacity is and what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do, the better we can do sound strategic planning. And that, and I see that across a lot of these committees that we're going to run across that. So I'm going to go back up to the top since we've Matt has already handled supervisor. We're going to go up to let's go to the OCSD committee meetings. So community enhancement, we're doing that as an as-needed, correct, and not doing an appointment?
Yeah,
is that my understanding? Yeah. Is it agreeable with everybody?
I'd support that.
Finance is standing, will be scheduled on a regular basis.
And I wanted to see if Jennifer would, and I could switch. She'd be the chair and I'd be the director.
I'd be willing to do that.
Jen, you want to be the chair?
Sure.
Great.
She can practice running meeting.
And then personnel also on an as-needed basis. With having a regular GM, I mean, personnel did more personnel than they really wanted to do. And it didn't really make sense, but at that time we were running, we had a lot. We were going through the GMs.
Yeah.
So
on that particular point, in recognizing the ad hoc approach, the question, we do know that in the coming months that we are going to have the MOU negotiations again. And so to appoint, you know, the primary or the two members really for the ad hoc on the MOU discussions could be timely at this point in time rather than waiting, because we know that that's a, you know, we've got things in the MOU that are time sensitive and structured. So my preference would be to identify that out, those ad hoc individuals at this time.
Okay, so then I'll take that recommendation. And the MOU is the union contract memorandum of understanding between the union employees and the district. I served 8 months, 9 months, 10 months last year doing MOU.
Seemed like an eternity.
So I'm going to pass this time.
The prerogative of the president.
And I know the union rep will miss me. Yeah. I know the guy will miss me. But
first, too, we can come back to some of these.
Is anybody interested in doing the union MOU? It's a great learning experience.
I'll do it. I am interested as well, but
yeah. Okay, Director Angelo and Director Blackburn. And who wants to lead?
I'll take that.
Yeah,
she's gonna have
Lori spoke
on her
first.
Okay, great.
So Lori, you're taking the lead?
Yep.
Okay.
I love unions.
She loves them more than I do. I still have my notes, Lori.
Okay.
Okay, great. Water and sewer on an as-needed basis, since we have full-time staff that is actively working on that. The field reps don't need us. They don't need.
So we'll delete the last
board mucking it up.
Delete the last Tuesday of each month at 10:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would like to see the codification be established to figure out. Okay, so
what should we do with all that money we spent?
Docs, what's the old docs, right. And what was, you know, there was a lot of money that was put into it, and I don't think that part is necessary. What it is it's sitting down and figuring out what applies, what doesn't apply, and where we need to tighten it up. So I would be willing to sit on that committee as much as I dislike codification. Hearing any seconds?
Well, I have just a question. Sorry. I'm curious if it is something that staff is already working on. I don't know.
No, the priority of that, you know, it's certainly going to be something that will be part of your board's deliberations in January and February.
Yes.
I did reach out to the previous legal firm, Alex Seamus, and he was very accommodating. He sent me all of his electronic files on the work that had been done up to that point in time. So again, I was very appreciative of Mr. Seamus, and So we've got all of that electronically, and we're in a position to move forward, depending on where your board sets it as a priority.
Okay. I was just curious. Thank you.
I would think there's other priorities that might come ahead of it.
Pro forma.
Yeah, I mean, we can't do everything at once.
Prop 1, Prop 2.
Well, I still think that codification, you know, you got to have a rule book.
And oh,
you
got to
know which book you're working from.
Yeah.
And right now we got three.
So we can put President Lucy's name down and then name the next person.
And now we have airport land use. Who wants to go on to the exciting committee of airports and their land use? We had Director Angelo there.
And you very seldom actually meet and do anything.
This one might, if
again, you're going
to
make some changes.
I hate to interrupt, but this one might be interesting. I had an individual in the public come and talk to me about Pier Avenue and land use restrictions associated with the airport land use rules associated with, of which I have zero knowledge. However, due to the, I should back up. I don't have any, and it's not zero knowledge. I know the drainage stuff, but what I found interesting is recently, in fact, last night, the city of San Luis Obispo, on a 4-1 vote.
3-2?
4-1. Yeah, it required a 4-1 overriding vote. So.
Oh, it was 4-1? Okay.
Yes, yeah. So they were able to develop overriding actions, the details of which are required, I am not knowledgeable. But I did have an opportunity to talk with somebody in legal counsel at the county, and I said, well, with the city's approach to overriding considerations or overriding actions in San Luis Obispo, is that also possible at Oceano, with the presumption that it would be the Board of Supervisors since they're the land use agency there? And the answer I got was, well, there's a lot of misinformation in the newspaper, but yes. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, again, an individual in the public came to me and had expressed this interest, and we started talking about what happened in the city of San Luis Obispo. You know, whether or not that particular action, you know, triggers consideration here in Oceano in terms of some of the airport land uses, I have no idea. But you know how it happens is that sometimes something happens one place and it triggers thoughts in others.
We should try that, yeah.
Yeah, so I do know that there's people in the community who are very much interested in it. And I don't see myself as being, I'm not going to recommend when it comes around that it be prioritized on my time schedule in the near future. But again, as working board members, it might be something that can get some action on.
And Director Angelo, would you still consider being primary on this?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
That much of a
does anybody want to be the alternate? Sure.
Linda? Take Linda with me.
Who is the sure?
Marty?
I say we leave it alone.
I would ask Director White to please continue in your capacity.
Please. I was going to say I would very much like to.
Yeah.
Great.
The reason being is because Oceano, we are a part of it, but this communication thing with Oceano not... the fire department's not being able to find or call Oceano is really concerning me.
Yeah.
The second incident was as bad as the first, and a lady was trapped in a car with sparking electric wires coming down, starting fires in the creek, and the ambulance was there. And Five Cities Fire Authority was the first fire truck there, but they were the last one called, because they were the closest by miles and miles and miles, not miles and miles, but...
Well, probably miles
so
and miles.
So fix it for us.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do, if
great.
I could.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of that on the scanner, and there's a lot of times that they call out, but they don't call out the closest trucks.
I know.
And I think there's a little competition going on with other outside fire agencies right now. I think there's a little...
Well, I'm hopeful our new fire chief can
get it straightened out. Yeah,
can get it straightened out. I'm meeting with him tomorrow.
Okay.
And
you're
Mr. Guerrero, are you backing her up on that one?
I'll back her up, and Karen's doing a very nice job. Over
yes,
there,
you
so.
Are.
Thank you, Karen.
So
thank you
so much, Karen. We really appreciate it. Okay, Oceano Advisory. Jen, would you like to take the lead on that?
Only if Karen wants to switch. I mean, I'm there anyway, so.
Karen can also serve through the Housing Advisory Committee as a liaison to Oceano, so we both can actually serve in different capacities on the same board, because I was on that representing Halcyon Advisory before I came on this board.
Yeah. I always liked the advisory committee, mm-hmm. too. It's a fun committee.
Well, and I think there's a lot of good work being done there.
Yeah, and it's very informative, and it's just it's
well,
just
and
great.
All the county's building projects come through there.
Right.
So okay, I think we need a strong voice.
So you would be the Halcyon rep and Jennifer's alternate?
No. No, Jennifer could be the Oceano rep.
So you're just going to switch places. She'll represent Oceano and you'll do Halcyon?
Correct.
Basically?
Okay. But I'm going back to the question of the alternate.
Right. Well, Karen's there for Oceano, Halcyon, and for every, you know.
And Halcyon's part of Oceano, so that's
does
fine.
Does that count as one of the two that you just described?
Yeah.
They are our two appointments, yeah. It's fine. It's good. And now you've done the next one and the supervisor liaison one. So now we're to the Water Resource Advisory Committee.
And I actually like, that's a committee that I do like, so I would ask that I be kept as the primary on RAC.
Good.
I'm interested in getting involved in the water stuff. Is it okay if I
alternate? Why don't you take Lori as alternate?
Yeah.
Is that okay? I mean, I don't want to take it away
fine.
From you if you enjoy it. So.
Well, Jennifer as the alternate.
And are you good with that, Lori?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, right. Okay, Zone 1A. Jan, are you okay with how it sits now?
If she's going to be supervisor, I can go on to 1A because we aren't a voting member of that organization.
Yeah, that would be fine.
We're just an observer.
So you want to just switch those?
So just switch them?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying, Karen?
Well,
because Jennifer's lead, you're alternate, so you're saying that you want to be lead on this and she's going to be alternate?
It really is just something, we don't have any voice in that.
Well, it's good to have a presence there.
Have a presence there, but we don't really have a voice.
Well, that's fine, but I do think that it's a standing subcommittee and it's... And the zone is in Oceano predominantly.
And I have
so
a
I really
interest.
Ask that.
I would be happy to be alternate for.
Okay, great.
Cool.
For Karen. Yeah.
And as a quick heads up, then, Karen, we need to. We have a meeting scheduled on Monday with some of the community individuals, so we can follow up and talk about the time of that. And
yeah. Well, okay. Jennifer and I maybe can both come. It's Monday, this coming Monday?
The 15th, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I will not be available.
Okay.
I'm having cataract surgery.
Okay.
Well, good.
All right. Moving
we'll
right along.
Better vision after that.
Okay. So let me be clear on the Zone 1-1-A because it's Director White is the primary and Director Blackburn is the alternate, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Zone 3. I would... that have many more resources than we have. And so I go back to who's our best, who's our most knowledgeable, who knows the ins and outs of the contracts of water better than anybody. And Lori and I have been doing Zone 3 for some time now. I did it 1 year as the lead. The next year I took it as the alternate, and we've gone back and forth. Mm-hmm. But what we have differently now is we've recently hired the director of public works for the county, mm-hmm. from the county. And so I asked the board support this decision is that we put our best foot forward and we put Pavel Ogren in there as our representative on Zone 3. We're dealing with people, our neighboring cities and entities that we work closely with. We're doing our best to continue good relationships. Many times Oceano is taken advantage of in this situation. Sometimes the contracts are not understood. The surplus water was a prime example of how Oceano's lost millions of dollars in how things are scheduled. And I ask that since we did invest a lot in bringing on the best GM we could possibly find, that we use that knowledge base in the best possible way of the town. So I would ask the board to support putting a staff person in that position.
Can we do that?
We can.
Yeah, you know, obviously President Lucy alerted me to what her thoughts were on this. Confirm with, you know, the bylaws are in there, the requirement is just simply that you make a recommendation. It's not a necessarily an elected official. The out of the Zone 3 contracting agencies themselves, County Service Area 12 has historically been represented by the general manager of Avila Beach Community Services District.
Yeah.
So not only is it permissible, but you know, a precedent has already been set for quite some time.
Makes sense to me.
And so I think that the people of Oceano would really gain from this tremendously. And also, too, is the knowledge base that this board would increase, and and it would be utilizing our resource at the table, and that the instead of the chair just kind of being handed to whoever's, you know, the favorite that year, that it be on a rotation basis. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time in the history of the Zone 3 that Oceano is the chair of Zone 3. So it's a good thing, you know, and I think it's really utilizing Pablo's knowledge
and experience
of the system to the best of our ability. So what do we think?
I can get behind it.
Yeah, I would support that.
Yeah.
And the alternate?
And are you agreeing to do this?
Oh, you know, out of all of my career, the facility and the operations that has been closest to me has been Zone 3. I've had fortune of working on a lot of different, you know, facilities in virtually every community in this county at some point in time or another. But certainly it's the one that, you know, I've read more documents from the 1960s on and been more involved with any other. And it's the gem of the Central Coast, so I'd be more than honored. And
but have you ever sat at the table?
Oceano is the gem of the Central Coast.
We're the diamond.
Yeah, I've sat on a number of boards.
No, have you ever sat on Zone 3?
Oh, no. Because as a county employee, there's no county representatives on Zone 3 itself. So, yes, that would be a first for me.
And the chair,
you also
too.
Take the tech as well.
Pardon
and
me?
Zone 3 tech as well.
My
Let
preference.
Me hold on for that one.
Yeah,
for
we
a
need
second.
The alternate
Can we
on
talk
Zone
about
3.
That for a second?
Okay.
Okay, let's just get through Zone 3 and then I'll go through
I think
to
Mary
zone
should
3
be the
tech.
I think Mary should be the alternate because you've got the history there.
On Zone 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be happy to be the alternate since. Yeah, okay. I'll be happy to be the alternate. And Lori, you're good with this decision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I'm sure our neighbors would just be thrilled.
I know, I can't wait.
I can't wait. I love you, boys. Okay, Zone 3 tech. I always kind of felt that Director White did an excellent job representing us at that body, but I don't think it doesn't flow. It just doesn't. There's a lack in communication. There's a breakdown.
When I started tech, it was because no one was attending.
That's right. We didn't have a GM. We didn't have anything.
And
so
I was just there totally outside of my element making problems.
No, you did well. You did great, honey. You really did. But Tony will do a wonderful job,
too. Oh, yeah. Well, I proposed that months ago.
Is there an alternate?
Yes, Karen. Director White.
Vice President White.
Oh, right, Vice
That's
President
right.
White.
I remember.
It's not very good at titles. Okay. LAFCO, I'm fine staying as primary. I'd actually prefer to do that. Alternate, does anybody Karen, do you want to do the alternate? Do you want to pass it on?
I can be the alternate on LEFCO.
Okay. So how's everybody's shoulders feeling so far as commitments? Anybody feeling light?
She's staring at me.
I'm staring at Matt.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I mean, I
wasn't looking back. Well, the problem is anything that's a Tuesday or Thursday, I'm totally KO'd on. I can't make it.
Or Wednesday.
If you want to take them out of order a little bit in terms of a recommendation to put a little more burden on Director Guerrero, I like the idea of NCMA. And the reason why is because with the discussions of recycled water,
yeah,
and the necessity of coordinating the efforts of the South County Sand District with Oceano, Rio Grande, and Grover, and everything else like that, I think that, you know, his leadership on the Sand District works well for the NCMA.
Oh, that
as
works
well.
Good.
That does make sense.
Would you be willing?
Yeah.
Great.
That's on second Mondays at 1:30?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
For now.
Unless they have an emergency. But the nice thing about it is that you can conference call into that meeting.
Yeah, you can.
Yep. So you don't even have to leave your desk.
I'll go.
Okay. And
otherwise, I start playing Candy Crush and I catch it.
And then I'll be your backup.
Okay. That sounds great.
All right, and so we're going back up the list, moving right along. We got LAFCO handled, and then the IRWM and the
Regional Board,
Quality Control Board.
Yeah,
both those are substanding subs of RAC, so they really probably shouldn't even be on there, because whoever is doing RAC, which would be me and Jennifer. Trust me, guaranteed, we're going to be...
Repeat.
Yeah, weren't you on it because you guys were on...
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Okay, so the RAC appointees will also cover IRWM.
Correct.
Okay.
There's the Regional Management Water Group, which is also part of that whole effort. So,
the who?
The Regional Water Management Group. That's the...
That's
really the IRWM group, is the Regional Water Management Group. So the IRWM, we'll rename it to its appropriate name. Regional Water Management Group works on the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan.
That's why it's so confusing. They keep throwing all these other entities that are involved. But
okay, and that's President Lucy with Director Blackburn then.
Right. And then we have State Water.
Mr. Ogren.
I think that's a great one for Pavo. Who else knows more about that?
I'm interested in going to that.
Then you're the alternate. Great.
Okay, Jen.
That or you're the primary, and Pavo's going to go with you, one or the other. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter to me.
Put Jennifer as the primary.
Okay,
that's fine. There is a primary.
Then I get to go to the meeting and said my boss said that. You know.
It sounds like a geek fest to me, but go ahead.
It is.
Yeah. Knock yourself out.
I heard it's suits.
A bunch of suits.
Jennifer's the primary and Pavo's the alternate?
Yeah.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, and then last but not least, the strategic planning. It's a standing committee that's being standed up right now.
It's been stood up.
And so...
Now, the thing about strategic planning, I'm gonna say this out loud here. I see Jen and I, or Ms. Blackburn and I, as in finance audit, that's kind of the heartbeat of the district because that's where the money comes from. And, or maybe it's the brain. Maybe the water and sewer is heartbeat, but it's the brain. And all these things like pro forma, budgeting, future projections, which really kind of tie into strategic planning. Not kind of. They are strategic planning because it's all budgetarily related. That maybe that's where that belongs, is strategic planning is finance and audit.
So
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, here's my thoughts, is that I like where you're going with that, Matt, for a couple of reasons. One is that things do ultimately funnel into the Finance and Audit Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the challenge of standing committees with multiple, say, focusing on finance and other times on, you know, the strategic planning type of stuff. But I think having the same board members makes a lot of sense.
My recommendation is to have Jen and I, and she can chair it just like finance.
But my understanding is that the strategic planning really is like a goal setting, mm-hmm. and that it's a work group that's conducted a couple times a year, but mainly in January we have a workshop. We set our priorities, which should be coming out of your committee in structure, right? But somebody's going to have to.
I think in January, what we need to do as part of an agenda item is talk in detail about how we want to approach strategic planning, because there's going to be a couple of different options. Do you want the discussions to come up through the committee, or do you want the discussions to be as on the board as a whole within the committee, monitoring and working with staff how we're implementing the priorities that your board determines? So I think as this point in time, just identifying who the committee members are going to be, and then in January we'll discuss and your board will make decisions on how we're going to approach strategic planning.
Okay, so for a future agenda item for January, we're going to have strategic planning on the agenda, just as a footnote, Marie. And then we're going to bring it back, but we're not going to drag it out.
Correct.
We're going to bring it back. We're going to make decisions on how we're going to execute it, and we're going to do it, right?
Groovy.
Okay.
And so Blackburn is the
primary.
And I'd be the alternate.
So Okay. Do we have others?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to then summarize a recommendation, and that essentially reflects what I understand to be, you know, the straw votes and the general inclination of your board. And so with this recommended motion, then, the appropriate board action is for somebody to say, I so move, and then for your board to finish your deliberations. But there's going to be no need to actually try to repeat this motion. So my recommended motion is, first off, that the following committees will become ad hoc committees, and that is our Community Enhancement Committee, the Water and Sewer Committee, the Codification Committee, and the Personnel Committee, with establishing now the ad hoc committee for the MOU, or in some cases both will be appointed. With the Sand District, the President Lucy and Director Guerrero, the Board Liaison with Director Blackburn and President Lucy, the Finance and Audit with Director Blackburn and Director Guerrero, the Airport Land Use with Director Angelo and President Lucy, the California Special Districts, President Lucy and Director Angelo, Five Cities Fire Authority.
No, that's Jennifer.
On special districts?
Yeah, she's doing that in too.
Correction. The second name is Blackburn. Five Cities Fire Authority, Vice President White, Director Guerrero. Oceano Advisory Committee, Director Blackburn and Vice President White. The RAC and IRWM Regional Water Management Group, President Lucy, Director Blackburn. Zone 1 and 1A, Vice President White, Director Blackburn. Zone 3, General Manager Ogren, President Lucy. Zone 3 Tech, Tony Martino, Vice President White. LAFCO, President Lucy, Vice President White. NCMA, Director Guerrero and President Lucy. The Regional Water Board, Director Blackburn and Director Angelo. State Water, Director Blackburn and General Manager Ogren, and Strategic Planning, Director Blackburn and Director Guerrero.
I so move.
Second.
I got a question. Which one am I on? IRWM or the RWQCD?
Those are combined appointments.
Oh, okay.
Those are combined.
Who's I don't think I was on those, though.
I seconded.
Jennifer was doing them.
Well,
you are alternate.
No, it's under RAC.
I think she's talking about the Regional Water Quality Control Board.
Okay.
She is.
Yeah, that is Director Blackburn and Director Angelo.
Okay.
And Director Angelo.
How about Pavo there?
She's trying to shrug it off on you.
I know.
Oh, wait, yes.
So we've had a we've had that motion made.
Seconded by Director Guerrero.
Yes.
Roll call or just
Any additional deliberations?
No.
No. Let's do public comment real quick, and then we'll.
It's your discretion.
If you have an ad hoc committee on, for example, water and sewer, those are your official duties. And if you're discussing setting policy or, you know, passing some kind of legislative action related to water and sewer in an ad hoc committee, it has to be public. And we've had problems with creating ad hoc committees. And just to point an example, a historical example, when we were deciding whether to raise water rates, there was an ad hoc committee created to discuss whether to raise water rates. And in that ad hoc committee, which was not a public meeting, even though there were five district board members were at one of these meetings, they merged the issue of whether to sell Oceano's water. So in other words, the public was noticed, we're going to have an ad hoc committee meeting about whether to raise water rates. And in that meeting, they said, maybe we should sell water.
Okay,
and they
Giselle.
Merged those. Okay,
so we got your message. Thank you. Thank
There's
you.
A real legal problem around the ad hoc.
So okay, the, a point of emphasis right here is that all of the committees will comply with the Brown Act. There's no doubt about that. You know, the distinction between standing and reoccurring meetings or blue ribbon committees or ad hoc committees, certainly we will ensure that we have compliance with the Brown Act. The idea that Giselle brings up a situation where five members of a board purportedly met, you know, obviously that's not in compliance with the Brown Act if it's not noticed as a board meeting and everything. But the ad hoc committees themselves have less than a majority of your board. And so I'm not necessarily in agreement with some of the statements that Giselle made, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that as we move forward, we'll seek guidance from legal counsel and make sure that we comply with the Brown Act in all cases.
Right. This isn't a new model for
Correct.
This district. This what happened in the past is the past, and that was one individual's thing. But this actual model has been used for district appointments for eons. Okay, so Marie, can you do a roll call vote for us, please?
Absolutely. Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
To repeat, this is agenda item 11B, thank you, consideration and approval of a recommendation for general auto and other liability insurance coverage for 2015 at a cost of $22,307. My staff report will be very brief. There is a couple of follow-up items out of the Finance and Audit Committee that we will be and are already currently working on with the insurer. One is that the policy's coverage right now does not have included the properties of the depot or the community center, and also does not include a number of the vacant lots that we own. And so we will be working with our broker in order to include those properties, provided that they're at no cost, which may be the case with our vacant properties. If there is any premiums associated with the inclusion of properties, then those add-ons will come back for your board approval. That's very limited additional follow-up work that we have to do after the Finance and Audit Committee. The recommendation for making a lump sum payment of $22,307 is simply because if we pay over on a monthly basis, they will incorporate an interest rate of 8.75%.
Ooh,
wow.
So it's definitely beneficial in order to, and thank you, Marie, for following up on that question as well. And
Mr. Ogren,
with
I
that,
have a question.
That's I'm glad.
Why would we be insuring the community center's property? We leased them that property for $1 a year. That would be a cost. That would be a negative to the district for us to pay their insurance.
No, they still are obligated in order to buy their insurance. But when it comes to issues associated with liability, it's the co-insurance provisions that can provide additional protection to your district. The question is that going to cost very much money, or is it going to be a nominal cost? So I think it's a valid question. It's not part of today's action items. We'll get the quote from the broker if there is an additional cost. With respect to the vacant lots, I think it's advisable to make sure that they're included. Yeah.
Right.
If nothing else, because of trips on sidewalks.
I agree with that. It was just the least 99-year lease that I was.
Yeah.
So, do we have any discussion on this?
No, and that's why this further discussion came up. It is being looked at.
Yeah.
But for tonight, we're going to move forward with what we have is the proposal from the
committee. Okay. And I ask that we follow up and bring this back on to look at, you know, how much it's going to cost the district. And
right.
those expenses need to be passed on to the people who occupy the
Okay, the issue of whether or not you want to have your insurance policy provide additional coverage is going to be an issue solely for the district. The lease agreements and the contracts that we have already stipulate the arrangement between OCSD and Lucemar or the depot, and we don't really have the ability to change those contracts unilaterally. Another reason why considering the additional insurance on, you know, in our policy is important is that if a significant claim actually came forward, one of the things that the insurance companies of the other parties will do is they will look to the lease and they will look at the claim and they will say, is that the responsibility of the lessor or the lessee? And so we know that attorneys are well employed by insurance companies, and they will dissect our lease agreements and try to, the other insurance company will look at any angle they can in order to push the risk or the liability over to the district.
Just as a practical matter, if anything happens, which would likely be some sort of a personal injury or something like this, they sue everybody. They sue the landowner and the lessee, and it's too difficult for us to police whether or not the depot or anybody else is complying with the lease agreement insurer. So if we can remain insured, that's the best thing we can do.
And it gives the insurance carrier a duty to defend so that we don't incur those costs.
Yeah, there's many reasons.
Even if we're wrongfully sued.
Okay.
Many reasons.
Can we have this on a future agenda item,
yes.
please?
Yes, so that's
we
not...
We could go down
right.
hourly roads here, you know.
Yeah. Right. So that is separate from the recommended action. It came out of finance and audit, and it will be a subsequent agenda item.
Okay.
So we want to take action tonight, though?
Yes, on the recommended action still
on
stand.
On the recommendations of the insurance company.
Now, is that the total of your insurance liability is $22,307?
Yes.
That's it?
That's it. On general liability. So, again, your motion might be to approve staff recommendations with a subsequent agenda item to address the properties that are not yet
additional
identified.
Properties.
All right.
I think Karen.
Anybody want to make a motion to accept staff recommendations?
I recommend.
Have either the meeting extended if you want to discuss this, or you want to put a timeline on how long you're going to discuss it.
Well, I just
thought, think that there's a good point from the audience. So do you want to table your motion?
Yes.
Very good.
The quick answer.
The motion's table.
So the quick answer, which is on the undeveloped properties, the response from our broker is that most likely those would be covered under the provisions of the insurance policy right now. It's just advisable in order to specifically identify them in the policy as well.
Well, I think it's good practice, but I also think people send in insurance certificates to this district on a yearly basis stating that they're covered, that comes from the insurance company. So you're talking about duplication. You got a small nonprofit over here paying an expensive insurance rate, and the district over here is paying as well.
So the two different situations. On the one situation, we're talking about when we have tenants and lease property. The second situation is just the coverage on our undeveloped properties. the drainage basins, the other miscellaneous properties that have no improvements
and
on
I
them.
And I don't think that that has to be rationalized. We totally get
right.
that.
So, but that was the question from the public, and the response is that our broker says those undeveloped properties are most likely covered by the policy right now. It's just better to go back and specifically identify them. And okay. so if the confirmation is we can specifically identify them at no cost, then we will simply do so.
Okay. Did that answer your question? Okay.
Well, I can assure you the people have got insurance.
Yes.
And we have and insurance. Have, it never has lapsed. And the district uses our parking lot for a tenant mm-hmm. that they rent to, so you mentioned something about cost. We'll have to start charging rent for no, the parking lot.
There's no cost to the depot. No.
Cost
there's no
to the
cost
to the depot.
It's the question of whether the district.
Well, you should have already had your own liability insurance anyway on the depot.
But it's not any. It's the empty lots. It's not the existing lots. So it's not like the fire department or this building or the building across the street or anything like that. Nobody wants to pass on any expenses.
So I'd be glad to answer any other questions of clarification.
I make a motion that we approve.
Wait, months, that's a part that I'm a little confused on.
It just means that it's got to come back to your board, and I would anticipate, you know, the okay. broker is working on it. We will be back in January.
Great. Okay. And at that time, we're going to have clarification as to.
Well, I need to clarify about the district's use of the parking lot. I know your tenant. My lawyer has told us if there was an accident in the parking lot due to your tenants, then you're responsible, so you do need to have insurance that you would be the lead and not us. Because it's your tenant. There's a little mix there, I think.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second.
Right.
And call the vote.
Okay, we're going to call the vote, and then I'm going to go back to solving this issue. Marie, can you call the vote, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay. Mr. Ogren, can I ask that we have clarification what it means for the not the bare, not, I, we're clear on the property that's not developed. The property that where we have tenants, right? Where, what, how does that impact them? Can you just work with our tenants on that?
Right. Yes, and right. You know, Ms. Guyton provided an example of a potential claim on that particular piece of property that her insurer might reject and push it back
to
the district.
To the
which is why we need to follow up on this issue.
I agree. We have
That's
to identify
doing.
The properties.
Yes. Right. It's really not a problem for Ms. Guyton and the Depot Association, because they've
right.
got the insurance and they're
right.
complying with their terms.
Right.
It's us that we need to be worried about.
Right.
This.
And we don't want to make a hardship, our stuff to be a
right.
hardship
no.
on
the Depot.
On the group that meets down the hill or
right.
or any other area. Moving
well,
right
I,
along.
The Depot's
I thought the issue with that wasn't clarified was
right.
the adding passing costs on.
That's the crown jewel of Oceano across the street. So
okay.
I want to make sure
moving
protect
right
it.
Along. Is there anything else under the business items that you'd like to discuss, sir?
So our next item is agenda item 11C, consideration of ballots and voting for the special district representative on the San Luis Obispo County Local Agency Formation Commission. And the package identifies the two individuals who have been nominated to handle this item. But we just got it, so I wanted to get it on the agenda in case your board wants to do any follow-up or if you're happy with making any vote at this point in time. That both of the applicant statements are included in the package. Mr. Ohilski is the existing incumbent. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
All right. Do I hear any motions, or do we want to table this, give people a chance to look at it again?
I would vote for Mr. Ohilski, but just because I know who he is and he seems to be doing a fine job. I don't know Ms. Gray. So that's
do I make a motion?
Well, I don't know if anybody has any other discussion or thoughts on it. But.
Jen?
Yeah, I was actually considering supporting Ms. Gray. So.
Okay.
Now we need a discussion.
Okay, so how about next board meeting we discuss it?
That's fine.
And come out with a recommendation. So Marie, can you add this to the next agenda?
Yes.
To discuss and move forward with recommendations.
President Lucy?
Yes.
I would...
Just a minute, Mr. Oben.
Okay.
Sorry, I was just going to ask if the board thought that it was a good idea to have them come and present to us or not, since we were going to be discussing it, or would that...
Why don't you guys reserve and you can figure that out for whatever meeting we bring it back on. They may not be available.
That's true.
I can definitely do the outreach. My recommendation would be that your board entertain a motion to continue this item to your next regular meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I think Luke, Mary...
Motion. Yeah, who's second? White.
Director White.
I think Mary got there first, but...
Okay.
Item 11D is more important tonight.
Okay, call the question.
Aye.
Oh. Marie, do you want to do a roll call vote?
I'm putting something over on another agenda.
We don't have to do a roll call vote? No. Okay, great. So moved. All right.
But you still need a vote.
Can we get it all in favor?
Pardon me?
You had a motion in a second?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Yeah.
You got to call. It's your.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? It passes 5-0.
Perfect.
Okay, moving right along. See, Matt, you know what? We're not used to having three.
Expenditures. What I wanted to really cover was we had it on the Finance and Audit Committee meeting last Friday. We went page by page, and we spent just over 2 hours of reviewing the details. And from the Finance and Audit Committee, I was given some to-dos and some follow-up. The intent is that then we're going to be meeting on a monthly basis in order to continue to review the details as we progress through the fiscal year. The staff report outlines the nature of the actual report. It has the current year's budget. It has year-to-date numbers. There's two different columns called accounting estimates and operating estimates, and essentially those help us to provide a range of estimates of where we think we might be at the end of the year. It also has the prior year numbers in order to provide a gauge. And the only overall conclusion that we can really make at this point in time is that the budget may be under budget at the end of the year, or it may be over budget at the end of the year. Some of the major variables include state water, and that billing we expect to see around Christmas. And so at the next Audit and Finance Committee meeting, we'll be able to have an update on that. In following up with the county, the state water projection, I'm sorry, the state water line item itself, which is on page 147 of 161, budgeted in the current year at $887,000, and the line item above it is budgeted for $60,000, the multi-year program. And in discussions with the county since the Finance and Audit Committee, it appears that that $60,000 is also included in the $887,000. So we've got a little bit of double counting in the budget on that particular item. That's good news.
And also the garbage information?
Oh, yeah, we have about $60,000, not quite that much, between $55,000 and $60,000 in unanticipated revenues from our garbage franchises. So, with one set of estimates, with the more less conservative estimates showing us as being under budget, more conservative tracking that we can be over budget, it really then means that we need to work closely with the Finance and Audit Committee on a month-to-month basis in order to track it. But there is no recommended actions right now.
She'll be back in a second.
Okay.
So this is just informational.
This is just
That's correct.
Jennifer, do you have anything to add to it? We went through it for a couple hours.
Yeah.
I guess I did have just one question. I'm not sure if you had a chance to check, but on the insurance and how it was allocated across the different accounts, do you know? If the cost for, because I think the insurance cost in admin, let's see, hold on, is about the same amount. Well, it is a little bit less now, but as the bill that we're about to pay, but there were also insurance costs spread across the other funds, and I was just, if it's something that still needs to be looked at, that's fine.
So Marie was starting to research the allocation of the insurance costs, and I'm not sure if you have an update, Marie.
I started to look into it. When this budget originally was put together, our general liability policy was considerably higher than it is. So those numbers may be larger than they need to be.
Right. Okay.
And that is one of the items for follow-up with finance and audit at the next meeting.
Yeah, okay.
Which will probably be in January.
Yeah, that's fine. I just was curious. Saw my note.
Karen, you want to call the next item then?
Yeah. The next item is a hearing item 12A, consideration and approval of recommendations to purchase multi-year pool and stored water from the State Water Project.
So the staff report on this will be relatively brief as well. So since April 1st, we've used approximately 320 acre-feet of Lopez water. Currently, the county has delivered about 1,000 acre-feet of state water, which they've exchanged for Lopez water. And in a general sense, then, it's state water that is sitting behind Lopez Dam. And so this approach of that's recommended in the staff report, where we discuss with the county in order to take delivery of some of that water that the county has delivered in state water, up to 320 acre feet, that would, on the water bookkeeping side, essentially mean that we've taken zero Lopez water this year. And with the adoption of the LRRP coming forward to the Board of Supervisors next week, or on the 16th, yeah, next week, what it will enable us to do is take the entire 320 acre feet plus the emergency water and the surplus water that the board allocated to us in this water year, which total up to 450 acre feet, and we will essentially use zero of that water, and under the LRRP we will be able to carry it forward into subsequent years. The basic strategy then will enable us in 2015 to utilize state water and groundwater pumping, and then on April 1st we'll have an additional allocation of Lopez water, and that 450 plus the additional allocation then provides us with some of the reliability for 2016. So the basic strategy, which is in recommendation B, is really pretty straightforward, and I did receive email correspondence back from the county which said that they are amenable to the approach. The question is, because of the multi-year program on recommendation A, is whether or not the county is going to believe that they need to charge us the $253 per acre foot surcharge for multi-year pool water. And so whereas they've indicated that they are amenable to the approach, it's not conclusive whether or not they believe that they need to charge us what amounts to almost $62,000. Now, we noted that it's in the budget. In fact, we've got it kind of double budgeted. But we've also noted that, as adopted, the budget had more expenditures than revenues in it. So I really think that the question for your board is for support of B. And the question is if the county requires the surcharge of $253 per acre feet on that multi-year program, is your board okay with recommendation A as well? And the basic approach would be to sit down with the county, and that legal counsel Minery and I would review the contracts in advance in order to hopefully not have to pay the multi-year project cost, but that would be subject to discussions with the county.
Is there any board members who have any questions regarding the storage and exercising our right as state purveyors, one of two state purveyors in the South County?
I say go get them.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's a hearing item.
Well, we're going to discuss it, and then we'll hear from the public comment, okay? So so you're proposing to go back to the contract and look and see if the county has grounds to hold us for the $253 for basically wheeling. I mean, it's wheeling and downhill.
Wheeling is a separate issue, but it's for the...
I mean, it's basically moving it through the pipes.
Yeah. That's right. You know, the idea that the multi-year program was set up, everybody had opportunities to buy. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to put a probability on whether we will have to pay that additional $60,000. I think it's certainly within likelihood. But again, our job would be to try to see if we can figure out how to avoid that cost. You know, with the budgetary implications, we'll do our best. On the other hand, when we weigh the issue of sort of the financial implications versus the fact that we're in the middle of a significant drought and we have to make sure that, you know, we do multi-year water planning right now, my inclination is to be conservative to make sure we have the water. So if it's ultimately necessary to pay the additional $60,000, that's why I have recommendation A there.
Yeah, I've been sitting on the water committee for so many years. We're at a place where we at least have choices and we have a source. Mm-hmm. Most people did not vest in a source. Oceano vested in a source being state water. Our portfolio, because it's so diverse, is allowing us to tap into this water before it goes out to the free market and it gets sucked up immediately. And I think it's actually would be wise for the board to support any water available for future use. It's secured for the future for the community. So I'm wholeheartedly in support of trying to get as much water in a reserve and storage as possible and as quickly as possible. And we were faced with this, 2 years ago now? We had water from the state come down as a pilot project. And this is something of similar nature. That was a one-time only thing, but it was budgeted in to our budget. So our budget already has it in there. I don't know how somebody could foresee that we would need it, but, you know, because it was a one-time only deal before, but they did budget it in. So I would support staff recommendations. Anybody else have any input on it?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so somebody want to make a motion?
Should we take public comment?
Public comment?
On the hearing item?
Giselle Naylor, Oceano resident. It sounds to me like what you're discussing concerns the sale or the relinquishment of your control over Oceano's portion of its potable drinking water supply.
No.
So two years ago, you know how homeowners get annual water reports. 2 years ago, the water report said 90% of what was coming out of our tap was state water. So I'm curious, have our levels changed? Do we still get 750 acre feet of state water, 900 acre feet of groundwater, and I think it's 350 acre feet of Lopez water each year? Do we still have control over that allotment Of course, taking into the consideration, you know, the rainfall years and the ability of the state to hold back on state water if we go into drought mode. What I'm saying is we're not transferring our water rights to someplace else, because I've noticed the water coming out of the tap is of lower quality, and I don't think it's just the drought. I'm wondering if maybe we're not getting the same proportion of those three water sources. Are we selling, have we sold our water to somebody else?
No.
Okay. And the only other thing I wanted to say is I look forward to have more people, Ms. Blackburn and Ms. Guerrero, in on the water entity, on the when the water entities make their decisions about what they want to spend their money on and what they want to do with the water resources. We need more, we need different people, I think, because we're not getting the reports back that we were promised. When you go into the different various water entities or organizations like the Flood Control District and, you know, all the various entities that discuss policy and maintenance of our water supplies, we're not getting weekly reports back or at the board meetings of what went on in those.
President Lucy, this is getting off track
meetings.
If you want to.
So that's all I wanted to say.
Great, thank you. Okay, is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll move to approve staff's recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Do we need a roll call vote on this, legal counsel? Marie, would you please ask for a roll call vote?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Motion's carried.
President Lucy, would you mind doing a quick motion to extend the meeting past
9:30? So we can do the closed session.
Okay, so how much time would you like to extend
it? You don't have to identify.
I move that we extend the meeting to finish district business. Seconded by Director Blackburn. Do we need roll call? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 5-0. We're pulling a late one.
Going to closed session.
Okay.
He has to announce the closed session item for the record.
Okay. The district board will now adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, conference with legal counsel regarding Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al.
I was told I could hit it.
Hit that.
Come on, Jen. Okay, any future agenda items? Okay. Call to order.
For items 15 and 16, we have none. But I think you have to report out a closed session first.
Okay. Would you like to report out a closed session?
Right. There is no reportable action out of closed session.
Okay. Any future agenda items?
In addition to those that we discussed, in January, I'll need to bring this SSMP, the Sanitary Sewer Management Plan, to your board.
Great.
Staff basically will be meeting in the next week or so in order to initiate our efforts on strategic planning so that we come back in the first meeting in January. As a little bit of a reminder, you know, our goal was basically to give me through the end of the calendar year to get my arms around district finances and other district issues. I think that, you know, that goal has been met. And so We can kick off the new year with starting some strategic planning and the SSMP and, you know, some of the other items that we identified earlier today.
And Mr. Ogren, when you go to craft the agenda, can you find a place up higher up on the agenda so it's some of the important issues don't fall to the bottom of the agenda that need discussion? Like, I would have liked to have seen water storage up a little bit higher and things like that.
And I'll be glad to work with you on the agenda.
Oh, sure. I'm available all the time now.
Except for when she's in the committee meetings, and we can go over those again.
A good meeting, a little bit long.
Yeah.
We had a number of items even before the consent agenda. So
and I'll work
okay. We got a lot.
Got a lot done today.
Well, thank you, everybody.
And I'll work to keep everybody in check, including myself.
That last one's a hard one.
Jeez. Well, I think one meeting a month for 2 months has been difficult.
Yeah, it was a big agenda.
Yeah, it was good.
Anybody who advocates that we only need one meeting a month is wrong.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to adjourn this meeting. Happy New
Year.
So
move.
See you next year.
I think you should take your lovely husband and go to this with him. I'll be in.